Reading is from Job, chapter 19, beginning at verse 23. Oh, that my words were recorded, that they were written on a scroll, but that they were inscribed with an iron tool on lead, or engraved in rock forever. I know that my Redeemer lives, and that in the end he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. I myself will see him with my own eyes, I and not another. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Whakarongo ki te kupu, a te wairua ki te hahi. The Holy Gospel according to Luke, chapter 20, beginning at verse 27. Praise and glory to God. Te whakamoe miti ke kōria ki te atua. The resurrection and marriage. Some of the Sadducees, who say there is no resurrection, came to Jesus with a question. Teacher, they said, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies and leaves a wife but no children, the man must marry the widow and have children for his brother. Now there were seven brothers. The first one married a woman and died childless. The second and then the third married her. And in the same way the seven died, leaving no children. Finally the woman died too. Now then, at the resurrection, whose wife will she be, since the seven were married to her? Jesus replied, The people of this age marry and are given in marriage, but those who are considered worthy of taking part in that age and in the resurrection from the dead will neither marry nor be given in marriage, and so they can no longer die, for they are like the angels. They are God's children, since they are children of the resurrection. But in the account of the bush, even Moses showed that the dead rise, for he calls the Lord the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living, for to him all are alive. This is the Gospel of Christ. Te rongapai tēnei a te kiraiti. Praise to Christ the Word. Whakamomi tia ia te kupu mana.
Tēnā koutou katoa, kia ora e hui hui mai nei. I mihi ana ki ngā mana whenua, he tangata tiriti ahau ko Miriam Toku Ingoa. Hello, it's great to be sharing with you guys again this morning. Thanks for what you shared about Job, because I'm not going to be talking about Job, so that's good. I now feel okay, because we're going to be clearly covering it really well during Lent. So, does anyone here have a book where they keep sermon metaphors stored, ready to go for when they might get asked to preach? No one. Do you not even, Mark? No. So I've got a notebook like this at home, and it's got pages, not like thousands, but, you know, pages of analogies and answers to prayer and kind of miracles that I could use as examples. And so every time I'm on the preaching roster, I go and I look at the readings and I get up my book and I see if I can match it together, any of my stories. And only once have I managed to match one of my really good stories with the readings. But I think the Anglicans are quite tricky. And I think it's the mission of Mark to challenge me and encourage me to go outside of what I know, perhaps my comfort zone, and stretch myself and find new and different stories. So this morning is no different. My book stays the same with all my analogies unused. And I've had to come up with some new things for you this morning. So today I'm going to focus on the readings from Luke that we heard about. And there's just two things really that I want to look at within this reading. So one is the Sadducees and how that might play out in our lives today. And the other is what we learn about the kingdom from what Jesus' response is. So it's a bit of a tricky question for Jesus. The Sadducees are trying to trap him. They're trying to get him to contradict the law of Moses. And in Deuteronomy 25, Moses wrote this law that stated, in order to preserve family's land and name, if a man's brother dies and leaves his wife but no children, then he must marry the widow and have children for his brother. And in this passage, the Sadducees really labour their point. So they have this widow, and so then she has to marry the second brother, and then he dies, and then she has to marry the third brother, and then he dies, and then the fourth brother, he dies, fifth brother, he dies, sixth brother, he dies, seventh brother. So they're really trying to, like, you know, make a big deal of this. And it's a bit of a complex question, and it's partly because of who is asking it. So Jesus is kind of in this debate, I guess, with the Sadducees, and they were this rich and powerful group of high priests. They were kind of what you might consider the Oxford, Cambridge educated people of their day. And they knew the Old Testament, so they followed the first five books of the Bible, the Pentateuch, and they consisted of these kind of wealthy high priests, chief priests. They were devoted to the temple, and they didn't get on with the Pharisees, they didn't get on with Jesus, and they didn't get on with the apostles. And they were also part of the Sanhedrin, and they didn't believe in, it said that in the verse, they didn't believe in resurrection, angels, heaven, hell, any of that kind of supernatural world. To them, when life on earth was over, that was it. And wealth was kind of their main pursuit on earth. So they lived this kind of life of luxury compared to the Pharisees and to Jesus and the apostles. And they spent, it seems to me, that they spent a lot of time doing what they could to stand in the way of the gospel being spread. They were known for their wealth and corruption as much as their religious devotion. And it does appear in the Bible that they were most likely involved in the plot to kill and arrest Jesus. The Bible describes them as chief priests and in pretty unflattering terms. So in Matthew it says, John the Baptist calls the Sadducees a brood of vipers. Later on in Matthew, Jesus calls the Sadducees a wicked and adulterous generation. Jesus sternly warns his disciples against the deceptive teachings of the Sadducees. Then in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, it says, when the Sadducees test Jesus with a theological question, they're easily silenced by Christ, who lectures them like children, calling them badly mistaken. And then in John, it says, a detachment of soldiers and officials is sent by the chief priests to arrest Jesus and later instigate the cry to crucify him. So we have this group of men who are not fans of Jesus, and they're in this battle of words with him. And there were some fundamental differences in their core beliefs, and that's okay. Like, in life, we're going to come across people regularly who believe fundamentally different things to us. And it's actually okay to have a healthy debate for some of us as well. It can be good to form an argument and in a safe space with lots of trust and respect, have a conversation with someone who comes from a really different place than us, and that's okay. But I don't think that this was the experience that the Sadducees were wanting to encounter with Jesus. I don't think that they were interested in a healthy debate. And in hindsight, I guess we see Luke telling the story of his Saviour who was killed in a plot partly orchestrated by these men. And it's a story of Rome's destruction of Jerusalem and the temple. And they ask him this curly question that we have this morning in our readings. And when Jesus answered it, he explained two things. So the first was that marriage was something that was experienced and entered into here on earth, but the institution of marriage wasn't in the kingdom. And that was like this radical concept. Because the second part to that is that if there's no institution of marriage in the kingdom, what about the institutions of social class? Or what about the institutions of slavery? Or what about the institutions of the patriarchy? So the way I look at this is according to the way what Jesus said, that in the kingdom, women are equal to men, slaves are equal to free men, the poor are equal to the rich. In the kingdom, as Jesus describes it, only one status matters, and that's standing before God as his child. Verse 38 says, "He is not the God of the dead, but of the living, for to him all are alive." I think in life we've kind of spent a lot of time arguing and debating the afterlife and what it will look like or what it won't look like. And I think there's something kind of beautiful and special and divine in that Jesus often answers questions with parables and metaphors. And he goes against expectations. And to me, that's part of the beauty, that kind of unknown. And when we start to put God in a box, when we try and tie up the loose ends, we limit what he can do. So once again, here we see Jesus turning things on their heads. It's kind of like that upside down kingdom thing that we talked about before when I talked another time. He answers in unexpected ways, and we get a bit of a glimpse into some kind of insight as to how the kingdom will look, into this kind of radical, divine kingdom and how that might play out. When I worked at Central Hawke's Bay College, I taught art and I job shared with another teacher called Kath, and I worked 2 days a week and she worked 3 days, and we changed it around every fortnight. So unless you're really good at keeping a timetable, but the kids didn't necessarily know which one of the two of us they might get. And I had this student who was really, really complicated, and she was really, really mean, and she was difficult, and she loved an argument, and she loved a battle. And every day when she walked into art class and she saw that it was me that was teaching her, she would look at me and she would say, "Ugh, it's you." And she had this venom in her voice, and she would make comments when I walked past, and she tried to trick me and trap me into arguments. And she was kind of like a Sadducee in my life. But she was also this broken, lost, vulnerable young woman who had everything stacked against her in life. And after a little while, I worked out a different strategy with her. And every morning, before she had a chance to say to me, "Oh, it's you teaching me," I would say, "Yay, I'm so glad you're here today. Let me have a look at what you've been working on. I'm so glad you're here today." I was trying to change the way that she thought and interacted with me, but I was actually also trying to change the way that I thought and interacted with her. Because when you get someone saying to you every time they see you, "Oh, yeah, I'm so disappointed it's you," it can wear you down, you know? But I just thought, she's broken, I can see that, and she's trying to reject me before I reject her, you know. She was trying to protect herself ultimately. And I just thought, I need to change the way that I think about her. Today she's married with a little girl, and she sent photos of her baby to me, and she comments with joy on my Instagram posts. For to him, all are alive. So who are the people in your life that rub you up the wrong way? Who are the people at your work that perhaps try to argue every point you make? Who stir up trouble, who try to trip you up? You know, we will all have people in our life like that. Maybe currently you don't have somebody, but you will have had someone in your life who was actively trying to be difficult for you. And just for a moment, I just want everyone to close their eyes. And I want you to picture that person. And this might actually be quite painful to do. They might have actually caused you some grief and some sorrow. And next to them, I want you to picture yourself. And when you have this picture of the person and you, you might actually feel a bit vulnerable. You might feel a bit angry or frustrated with them. And now I want you to picture Jesus standing between you both, holding each one of your hands. And the deep, deep love and grace that he has for you, he also has for them. For all to him are alive. The kingdom is for everyone. Lord, this morning we want to lift up those people in our lives who might have caused us pain. It could be historic pain or it could be current pain. Help us to remember that you love them just as much as you love us. Because the kingdom is for everyone. I just ask, Lord Jesus, this morning that you forgive us for those things that we might have thought about them. We ask that you help us to change the way we interact with them, the way we think about them. And we pray, Lord Jesus, this morning for restoration. Lord, we know that while those Sadducees caused Jesus immense pain and even death, he loved them. We're all his children. And we thank you that the kingdom is for everyone. That through your grace, the kingdom is for everyone. Amen.